Today's daf is Me'ila Daf Hey. We are holding on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. We're at the two dots at the bottom of the page on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. So the last thing we did is the Gemara recorded the last line of the Mishnah, and that's what we're going to be working on now, is the Gemara's comments on the last line of the Mishnah. The last line of the Mishnah had said that the Isra of Me'ila, Rabbi Yeshua gave a rule that any time something ever had a Shas Hetzer L'Kohanim, if it ever became Mutter for Kohanim, he doesn't say what became Mutter for what for Kohanim, Mutter to eat for Kohanim, Mutter to do something else for Kohanim, but anytime something became Mutter for, and that's going to be the topic today, but anytime something became Mutter for Kohanim, even for a moment, then Ein Ma'olin Ba, then it's never going to be subject to the Isra Me'ila in the future, because it already is considered to have gone outside of the Parsha of Me'ila. But anytime something was not Mutter the Kohanim, anytime it never had a Shas Het to the Kohanim, that's when it can be subject to Me'ila. And the Mishnah gave examples of things that don't have a Shas, that did have a Shas Het to the Kohanim, and examples of things that did not have a Shas Het to the Kohanim. So the Gemara, three lines from the bottom, Amar Le Bar Kapara, Le Bar Padas, or Le Bar Pada, depending on your Girsa, so Bar Kapara said to Bar Padas, Ben Achosi, my nephew, Re'e Ma'ata Sho'alni Le Machar Beis HaMedrash, which just explains, he's telling him, Kolomar Le Machar Sheninu, Shneinu Niyah Asukim Bahalacha, Tashileini Kidei Levarer Hadavar, Re'e Ledaktik Bidavar Kidei Shenasa V'nasan Ba Le Machar. He was giving him homework. He was saying, this is the topic we're going to discuss in Shir tomorrow. Tomorrow in the Beis HaMedrash, I want to cover this topic, so go look into it, go think about it. Go see what you have to say on it, see what questions you have and what issues you want to discuss about this topic. So he gave him the discussion in advance of coming to the Beis Medrash, and he said as follows, Heter Shchita Shaninu, O Heter Zrika Shaninu, O Heter Achila Shaninu. The question that we're going to ask is, when we say that having Heter the Kohanim takes away the status of Me'ila, what does that mean? Heter for Kohanim to do what? So does it mean Heter Shchita, which over here means that it's been shechted already, it had a Kashra Shchita, that's enough to consider it to be Mutter le Kohanim, just the fact that it already had a Kashra Shchita? Or does it mean Heter Zrika, that it has to be Ra'ui Lizrika? Now notice the difference. Heter Shchita means not that it's Ra'ui for Shchita, but that it has already had a Shchita, and now it's Ra'ui for Kabbalah. The next stage after Shchita is Kabbalah, Kabbalah Sadam. Heter Zrika means that you've already done Shchita and Kabbalah, and now you're ready for Zrika. You're ready for the next step, which is Zrika. Or Heter Achila, or maybe it means Heter Achila, that only once the Karban has become Mutter to eat, Mutter for the Kohanim to eat, only then is it something that's going to be considered outside of the Parsha of Me'ila. So that's the Shaila that they were planning on discussing the next day in the Beis HaMedrash. Now the Shita Mekubetzes in Masechet Zvachim and Daf Samuk Vav Amud Aleph Oz Dalid says that if you say Heter Shchita Shaninu, that it means that it had a Kashra Shchita. So Shita says that's only by a Behema, that after the Shchita the Behema's Huchshar the Kabbalah Sadam. Heter Shchita is another way of saying that it's ready for Kabbalah Sadam and had everything done properly where it's now ready for Kabbalah Sadam. But what about when you have an oath? By an oath in the Beis HaMikdash, there is no Shechita. What do you have by an oath? You have Malika. So by Malika Sa'of, there's no Din Kabbalah afterwards, so the Heter Malika would certainly be nothing. Heter Malika would not be enough. Because again, Heter Shechita is another way of saying that we're ready for Kabbalah. There's no Kabbalah by the oath. So the earliest possible thing you could say is Heter Zrika, that we're ready for Zrika. The Shittim Kupetzes in Yevamos writes in the name of Rabbeinu Nesanel that Malika Sa'of is not Morid the Isser Me'ila, doesn't take away the Isser Me'ila, because only Shchita does it by Chulin, where the Behemah becomes Mutter, and the Isser Me'ila will go away by Shchita. But Malika Sa'of, where by Chulin, if you were to do a Malika on Chulin, not only would it not be Matir the bird, doing a Malika on Chulin would make the bird Usser, only Malika only works for Kachim, it would make the animal an Avela if you did it on Chulin. So by Kachim, Malika, although Malika malika is part of what you're supposed to do by an oath for kachim, but malika will not be matir the isra meila. That's the analysis of the shita in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. That the issue is that you see that malika doesn't do what shchita does. Shchita on chulin is matir the behema. By malika, it asers it. So even though we're mechadesh by an oath shal kachim, that malika is going to work, but it doesn't mean it's going to do everything that shchita does. So shchita can take away, if you hold heter shchita sheninu at least, shchita can take away the potential me'ila, but malika cannot take away the potential me'ila. That is the opinion of the Shita Gumbetas in those two places in Shas for two completely different reasons. However, in the Biri Adaf over here, he quotes that there is a Shita of Tosos that disagrees with the Shita Gumbetas and holds that just like there's a machlokas over here by a behema, whether it's heter shchita, heter zrika, or heter achila, so too you have the same machlokas by an oath. When you say heter zrika, you have the same machlokas by an oath, it would apply by an oath as well. That's a discussion in the Rishonim. Tosos over here has a couple of important points. First, at the beginning of Tosos, heter shchita sheninu. So what is heter shchita sheninu? Again, it means that you did the shchita properly. First, Tosos defines the terms. Heter shchita means shemiyad shenasis hashchita behechsher ein moalin. As soon as the shchita has been done already behechsher, then it's no longer subject to meila. Oh, heter zrika. What does heter zrika mean? To be in shiye ra'ui lizrika. Kodem shiyet semidei me'ila, kigon shen eskabla dam behechsher. Heter zrika doesn't mean you've already done the zrika, it means that we're now ready for the zrika as the next step, that the Kabbalah was done properly. So frektosos, now that we've defined the terms, vim tomar, bishlami amrit heter achila sheninu, hainu dekari le heter le kohanim, tahainu la achar zrika, sha'az mutar ba'achila. Eliyamet heter zrika, my heter lekohanimika. He says, I don't understand. The Mishnah said that anything that ever had heter lekohanim is no longer subject to meila. So if you hold that means heter achila, so I understand that's heter lekohanim. Kohanim can eat it. That makes a lot of sense. But if it's heter zrika, why is that called heter lekohanim? Kohanim aren't allowed to really do anything with it. How could we call that heter lekohanim? So says Tosos Yeshlomar. And again, heter zrika again means that it's not zrika has not yet been done. So what's the heter lekohanim? So Tosos says Yeshlomar the kodem zrika nami kari le heter lekohanim mishum dekivan da omid lizarek kizaruk dami. That's also called heter lekohanim because kolomid lizarek is kizaruk dami, and therefore it's as if it already had the zrika, and that creates a heter achila. So just getting to the stage of omid lizarek is good enough to be considered heter lekohanim. If you see weiter in Tosos, on Hamad Aleph, the Tosos goes over to Hamad Aleph, and about the seventh skinny line or so, Tosos asks another very obvious kasha. Vim tomer ki echi dekamer heter zrika sheninu, ki nas sakabala behechsher, kimokein hayu lalomar ki nas sashchita beheter, heter kabala sheninu, kolomar shebali day heter kabala. He says, I don't understand. Why is it that when we use the term heter shchita, it means shchita was already done? And when we use the term heter zrika, it means prospectively, that zrika is ready to be done in the future. The terminology is mixed then. What we should have said, instead of using the term heter shchita, if to be consistent, if heter zrika means we're ready for zrika, so what instead of using the term heter shchita to describe when shchita is already done and we're ready for kabbalah, it should have used the term heter kabbalah. That's what it really means, that we're ready for the kabbalah. Why the mixed terminology? So Tosfos Yeshlomar Dlo Dami, Tegabi Zrika, Shaykh Shapir Lashon Heter Zrika. When it comes to Zrika, it makes sense to say the term Heter Zrika. Lufisha Kishin Iskabil Behechsher, Oz Mutter Lizrok. Since you had a proper Kabbalah Saddam, now it's Mutter to do Zrika. Vim Niskabil Bepsol, Osr Lizrok. You're not allowed to do Zrika Saddam if the Kabbalah was done Bepsol. Aval kinami nishchat bepasul ein iser lekabel. But let's say the shchita was done improperly. There's no iser to be mekabel the dam. It's not an iser of catching the blood in a kli. Hilkach for shayich lomar heter kabbalah. Heter kabbalah would imply that had we not done everything properly until now, kabbalah would be aser. Well, that's not true. There's no such thing as an iser kabbalah. Ela heter shchita. So what do we call it? Rather, we call it heter shchita. Kolomer shenasa shchita beheter. We say, yeah, that the shchita was done right. V'kari le'heter l'kohanim, l'fishu heter la'avodas kohanim. Why is that called a heter kohanim? Now he's dealing with something he probably should have dealt with in the first three lines of Tosos, when he said, well, wait a second, what is the heter? Tosos asked before, what is the heter l'kohanim by heter zrika? What do you mean? Heter achila, I understand, they're allowed to eat it. What's the heter l'kohanim by heter zrika? So he said, okay, kolom elizarik kizarik tami. Then what's the Hetel Kohanim by Shechita? Shechita is even a step earlier. You just did the Shechita. How can you call that Hetel Kohanim? So he says, yeah, Hetel Kohanim just means that it's mutter for them to continue with the Avoda. Not that they're getting any personal benefit from it, not that they're getting any Gashmias benefit from it, but that it's mutter for them to continue going on with the Avoda. That's what Hetel Kohanim would mean. So he sort of goes back to that issue at the end of the answer to this separate question of the terminology. Then he asks one final question. Vim Tomar, Leman Yamar Heter Shchita Shaninu, Shachat Bitsafon Vikibo Bdarom, Amai Molin, Kivan Shnasa Shchita Beheter. If you hold Heter Shchita Shaninu, that once you had a Heter, once Shchita has been done properly, Mimela, it's no longer going to be subject to Mi'ila, so when you Shachat Bitsafon, you Makabu Bdarom, Why is it still subject to Mi'ila? It was the Shechita was done by Heter. Once you had Heter Shechita, so how can you say? The Mishnah said, the first Mishnah, that Shachat Betzafon V'kibol B'darom, that it is subject to Mi'ila. Why? Why is that subject to Mi'ila? It already had a Heter Shechita. So Yesh Lomar, Demayri Gon Shekibel, Kodem Gemar Shechita. The Hashanol Nigmara Shechita B'Hekshar. He says, no, it must be that we're talking about that the Kabbalah Saddam, that it was done in the Darom before the Gemar Shechita. That you can't say you had, if you had a full Shechita done Beheter, then Mi'ila's over. There's no longer any, it's no longer subject to any Yisra Mi'ila. We must be talking about that you did a Kabbalah B'Darom after half a Shechita. So you never really had Heter Shechita. Hard to visualize exactly how that works out, that you have a half a Shechita followed by a Kabbalah. On this Teretz of Tosfos, the Sfasemes wonders about this Teretz. How could you be Mekabel all of the dam before the Gemara Shechita? I mean, Kabbalah Saddam means you mekabel all the dam. So how do you mekabel, how is one mekabel all the dam before he ever had a Gemara Shechita? And if there's a little bit of dam left in the behema after the Gemara Shechita, so it should right away be outside of the problem of Mi'ila, because you could be mekabel the rest of the dam b'tzafon. So what does it matter that you began to be mekabel the dam b'darom? So the Sfasema says that you could be doche, and maybe it wouldn't be a kash from a Mishnah, because it could be that we're talking about a Korban Ola, and the Ola is not Yotzi Midei Mi'ilu Li'olam, even B'Shechita Uzrika. So maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about, where you don't have the concept of Heter Shechita by a Korban Ola. So maybe it's talking about that unique case, and that's how you could be Miyashiv the Mishnah. As Tosfos Vaitu though, Vim Tomar, they changed the gears to two, because Shachat B'Yom V'Zorek B'Layla Ma'ikul Meimar. What do you say about Shachat B'Yom V'Zorek B'Layla? So if you hold Heter Shechita, once it's Shachat Bayom, and you did a proper Shechita, there's no more Me'ila. So what are we talking about? Shachat Bayom, Vazarek Belayla, whether there's Me'ila or not. It's Pashat, there's no more Me'ila when it's Shachat Bayom. So he says, Yeshlomar Hasam Nami Mar, because Shachat Kol Kach, Samuch, Lashkiya Sachama, Achul Hutzrach Lizrok Belayla, Vimkein Lohes Shechita So Heter, Lavodus Kohanim. Remember, Heter Shechita, now here's what Tosfos emphasizes this point. Heter Shechita really means Heter Kabbalah, it's just that the words Heter Kabbalah don't mean anything, because it's never us do Kabbalah. But Heter Shechita is not about the fact that Shechita was done, it's about the fact that you can now go weiter, that you can now do everything else properly, you can now do the next Avoda. So if you did a perfectly good kosher Shechita at the very last moments of the day before Shkia, where there was never a chance to do the next step, there was never a chance to do a proper Kabbalah and Zrika during the daytime, because you pushed Shechita so late, right before nightfall, well, that's not called Heter Shechita. Heter Shechita, again, doesn't mean that the Shechita was done behechsher. Heter Shechita means the Shechita is done and therefore you're ready for everything else. You are ready for the next step. So that's why it makes sense to talk about a case of Shachat B'Yom V'Zarek B'Layla, even if you hold Heter Shechita. Okay, so anyway, all we did in the Gemara so far is the question. Bar Kapara told Bar Pedas that when our Mishnah says that that something that has a Shas Heter L'Kohanim is no longer subject to Mi'ila, we have to figure out what Shas Heter L'Kohanim means. Does it mean Shechita was done properly and we're ready for the Kabbalah and everything else? doesn't mean we've already done the Kabbalah properly and we're ready for the Zrika, or doesn't mean we've even done the Zrika properly and it's ready for Achila. So Chizkiya Amar, so there's two opinions that are quotes. Chizkiya Amar, Heter Shchita Shaninu. It's Heter Shchita. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Heter Achila Shaninu. So they go with the two extremes. With the earliest possible one, the latest possible one, they leave out the middle ground. That either it means Heter Shchita, that the Shchita was done properly and we're now ready for the rest of the Avodas, the Kabbalah, etc. Or it means that Heter Achila, that we've already done the Kabbalah and the Zrika, and we're ready for the rest. So says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Zeira, Lo Daika Masnisin, Delo Chizkia, Udelo Rabbi Yochanan. Our Mishnah happens to fit neither Chizkia nor Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Tosos is going to point out, when we say it's going to fit neither Chizkia nor Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't fit either one of them, but for one of them, it's a kasha, for one of them, it just doesn't fit perfectly. Rabbi Yochanan, it's going to be a kasha. Our Mishnah is going to seem against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan held Heter Achila, that only when it's Heter Achila is it outside of the Parsha of Me'ila. Chizkia, it's not going to be a kasha. When Chizkia said Heter Shchita, it's just going to not fit perfectly. So how so? How does it not fit with these two opinions? So it's not. Our Mishnah says, when the Mishnah gave an example, what is an example of something that had a Shas Heter L'Kohanim? So the examples are going to be a good way to start to figure out what Heter means, because we give examples of what had Heter. So the Mishnah said that something Shalana Vishenitmes Vishiyatzes. What is an example of something that had Shas Heter L'Kohanim? Something that was left overnight, that had become Tameh, or that was taken Chutz M'chitzah, so it was taken outside. Now, it doesn't say what was left overnight, or what became Tameh. It just says that it was left overnight, and we're going to focus on the first one, Shalana, that it was left overnight. Is it the Basar of the animal that was left overnight? Is it the Dam of the animal that was left overnight? So says Gemara, Lav Dilan Dam, shouldn't we assume naturally that it's talking about that the Dam was left overnight? V'katani ein mo'al in bo, and yet we see that even though the Dam was left overnight, which means what? It means that it never had a Zrika. So not having had a Zrika means it didn't have Shas Heter L'Kohanim. This is an example of something that had a Shas Heter L'Kohanim. Ushramina Heter Zrika Shaninu. So you see that it didn't have a Zrika because it was left overnight, but it was ready for Zrika. So that's an example of something that had a Shas Heter L'Kohanim. So you see it's talking about Heter Zrika. It was ready for Zrika. So if you look at Tosfos, Lav Delon Dam, V'Katani En Molen, Shmamina Heter Zrika Shaninu, Di'i Heter Achila, Hayla Limol Afilu Bebasar, Al Di'achar Zrika, Sha'azroi La'achila, V'Kashal Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning, if you were to hold, like Rabbi Yochanan, that it was Heter Achila, Lan Dama would not be considered something that had a Shas Heter. Lan Dama means Zrika was never done. So it was never Heter Achila. It was never ready for Achila. So it would still be in the Parsha of Me'ila when it was Lan Dama, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Mishnah is clearly against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan would hold Lan Dama is something that never had Heter Achila. If it never had Heter Achila, it's still in the world of Me'ila. So the Mishnah is obviously against Rabbi Yochanan. Chizkiya lo daika, though Tosa says. Chizkiya, the Mishnah is not against Chizkiya, it's just not meduyuk like Chizkiya. Because if it wanted to pick a case of something that had a Shas Heter, you didn't have to say Lan Nedama. You could have just said that you did the Shechita properly and you didn't do a Kabbalah yet. Midenakat Lan Nedama, velo nakat Rabusa Tvei, kigon Kibel Bipsul. Could have even said that you did a proper Shechita and you did a Pasul of Kabbalah. Forget about saying that you did a proper Kabbalah and now the Dam is being left overnight so you don't get to do Zrika. No, say you did a kibbal b'psul. V'avagav d'lek el shchita b'chshar. All you have right is the shchita. Still mikom makom e'malim that the shchita shaninu. So that would be that would be how you would formulate it if you really held like Chizkiya. So that's why this seems to be, our Mishnah seems to be like the middle ground, the Heter Zrika shaninu, which is neither Chizkiya's opinion nor Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So isn't our Mishnah a raya, therefore, against Chizkiya and against Rabbi Yochanan, or at least not Meduyik to Rabbi Yochanan, or I should say against Rabbi Yochanan, not Meduyik to Chizkiya. So it says Gemara, lo, the lan basar. Who said we're talking about lan dama, that it was the blood that was left overnight? Maybe we're talking about it's the basar that was left overnight. What happened to the blood? Aval dam is darik. The blood was thrown. Everything was done properly with the blood. That's all over. And we're talking about that the basar was left overnight. Mishamachik tani ein ma'olin bo. And that's why it's no subject. It's not no longer subject to mila because it's already heterachila. Meaning, it turns out that the Mishnah is meduyak perfectly according to Rabbi Yochanan. That Rabbi Yochanan tells me heterachila. The Mishnah gives me an example. What's an example of something had heter where the basar is left overnight? Prior to the basar being left overnight, the basar could have been eaten. It was heterachila. It could have been eaten by Kohanim. If you look at Tosos is such an obvious answer. The Mishnah just said lun. It didn't say what is lun. In fact, when we read the Mishnah, I just naturally translated lun as referring to the basar. That's the most natural translation. That what's the psulina on? The psulina is on the basar. What was the havamina to assume that it was Dafka talking about that the dam was lun, that the dam was left overnight? So Tosos writes over here, lo de lun basar. He says, wasn't it obvious that this is where we were heading, that this is what the teretz was going to be? Now the reason why we wanted to first assume that we're talking about lun dama, that the blood was left overnight, is dumya de seifa de lohais alashaset elekohanim. The Mishnah went on to give examples of cases where something did not have a shaset elekohanim. The chashiv kiblu psulim v'zarku daman. One of the examples of something that does not have a shaset elekohanim is where psulim were mekabel the dam and zorek the dam. Now what are we talking about when psulim and kabel dam and zorek dam? We're talking about avodos hadam. So just like something that did not have shaset elekohanim is referring to avodos hadam, so it's logical to assume that when the Mishnah talks about that which does have shaset elekohanim, it's going to be talking in the world of avodos hadam. Alma mayri psul dam v'resha dum yud seifa. So that's what the natural assumption was. But since it doesn't fit, so that's why the Gemara rejects it. And the Gemara says, no, we're talking about that lan basar, not lan dama. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter now. Tonight we learn Vayter in our Mishnah. Ve'izo hi shelo ha'isola shas hakosh l'kohanim shas hetz l'kohanim, probably say shenishcha chutzas mana v'chutzam koma v'shkibul psulim v'zork v'zdama. The Mishnah went on to say, what are examples of things that do not have shas hetz l'kohanim? Okay, that's an animal that's shechted chutzas mana with a machsheves pigul or a machsheves pasul, where the whole level of the sakarban was all done bad. It was never done properly from the very outset, from the very shechita. Or v'shekibu psulin v'zorek v'zdama. That psulin were mekabel v'zorek v'dam. So what does it mean, mekabel v'zorek v'dam? It means psulin were mekabel and psulin were zorek. Psulin were mekabel or psulin were zorek. What exactly does it mean? So heichidami. Ilema dizarku psulin v'kiblu psulin. If it means that psulin were mekabel v'dam and psulin were zorek v'dam, lamali adi katarti. Why would you need both? Why would you need psulim to do both in order for it to be something that never had a shas heter? As soon as psulim, let's say, were mekabel v'dam, so right away it's ruined. You had one of the avodas that were done by psulim, so right away it's ruined. You don't need to, and it's ruined before it ever had a shas heter l'kohanim. So good, so that's it, you're done. Why do you then need that the psulim were also zarek v'dam? Elav de kiblu psulim v'zarku k'sherim. Now it must be when we say that psulim are mekabel v'dam, it means that psulim are mekabel v'dam even if k'sherim are zarek the dam, v'katani ma'olim bo. And we're saying that that's going to be subject to me'ila. Why is it going to be subject to me'ila? Because it never had a shas heter l'kohanim. So shema mina heter zrika sheninu. So don't you see that heter zrika is correct? How do you see heter zrika is correct? Because if psulim were mekabel the dam, we say that's an example when psulim were mekabel the dam that it doesn't have a shas heter l'kohanim. Sounds like if k'sherim would have been mekabel the dam, so good, now it already has shas heter l'kohanim. But wait, isn't it too early to tell if it's going to be mutar ba'achila l'kohanim? Yeah, it's totally the tells me mutar b'achila. We don't care if it's mutar b'achila. We care if it's mutar b'zrika, heter zrika sheninu. And as soon as k'sherim are mekabel v'dam, you have heter zrika. So that's how we see from here, from the fact that it gives an example of where we don't have heter l'kohanim, is when psulim are mekabel v'dam, is the implication is that if k'sherim would have been mekabel v'dam, you would have heter l'kohanim. But heter for what? Heter for Zrika. So you see that Heter Zrika is our emphasis. So mask, so, and that would be Akasha, therefore, on the sheet, on the possibility of Heter, of Chizkiyo who holds Heter Shechita, and on Rabbi Yochanan who holds Heter Achila. Because you see, it's clearly Heter Zrika that we're focused on. So mask of Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, no, wait a second. What the Gemara is going to do now is it's going to quote another Mishnah about a different topic that has similar expressions about Shekiblu Psulin Vizarku. And the Gemara is going to say, we know in that Mishnah that Shekiblu Psulin Vizarku doesn't mean that Psulin are Mekabel and then a kosher person is being Zorek. We know that phrase, Kiblu Psulin Vizarku, means something else in that Mishnah, and therefore it has to mean something else in our Mishnah also. So that we're just using this Mishnah that we're about to quote. It's going to take us a while to get there, but we're using it as a model to figure out what Kiblu Psulin Vizarku really means. So says the Gemara, Maskev L'Rav Yosef, Visal Kadai Techi, if you think you can make such a chiluk and say that kiblu psul and vizarku means that kiblu psul and zarku ksherim, so haditnan hasam, that which it says in another Mishnah, chatas psula ein dama ta'un kibus, that a chatas psula, that the blood of a chatos that's pasul does not require kibus. What's this talking about? So the halacha is that the pasuk says in the Torah, kol chatos asher yazam idama rabegat tichabez, that any time that you have a blood of a chatos that splatters onto a beged, so the beged needs to be washed. Why does the beged need to be washed? Well, obviously it needs to be washed. It's stained, but it needs to be washed halachically, because if just like the blood of the korban chatos cannot be taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Azara, so if you have a beged that has blood of a chatos in it, stained with blood of a chatos, you're not going to be able to take that beged out because it has blood in it. So that's why there's a halacha. You have to be mechabes the beged before you take the beged out. So says the Mishnah, if the chatos was pasul, then the beged is not going to require kibus. Then you're not going to have to wash out the blood of a pasul of korban chatos from a beged before removing it from the Beis HaMikdash. So again, chatos psula ein domaton kibus bein shahaisol hashasa kosher v'nifsala. And in this case, unlike by Mi'ila, over here it doesn't matter whether it ever had a Shasa Kosher and it became Pasul, or it never had a Shasa Kosher to begin with. It doesn't make a difference. But even though it doesn't make a difference, the Mishnah still goes on to list what that means. What does the terminology mean? That it had a Shasa Kosher, that it didn't have a Shasa Kosher. It's not going to matter la'alacha, because either way, if it's Pasul right now, the blood's not going to require a kibus. But the Mishnah goes on to say, Ezo hi shayisala shasa. What's an example of something that had a shasa kosher and then became pasul? Shalana, vishen nitmes, oshe yatsa. Sound familiar? Right? The exact examples that we give of something that had heter lekohanim, something that was lan, nitma, yatsa. Ezui shalohai shalah shasa kosher. What's an example of a chatos that never had a shasa kosher? And this is going to sound familiar also. Never had a shasa kosher? Shenishchita chutz l'mukoma, chutz l'zmana, you shechted it with the machsheves psul, with the machsheves pigul, v'shekiblu psul in v'zarku es dama, and the psulin were mekabel v'zarek the dam. So what does it mean over there that the definition of somebody that had a shasa kosher was that psulin were mekabel v'zorek? Say chidami ilim dekiblu psulin v'zorku psulin. If you want who de'ein damaton kibus, if you want to tell me that the diuk is that it's because psulin did both, they did the kabbalah and they did the zrika, that's why the dam doesn't require a kibus. It's possible ha kibluhu, but the implication would be that if it was kiblu ozarku ksherim. Damaton kibus, but if it were kiblu or zarku, that a kosher people were mekabel or did either one, did the kabbalah or the zrika, then the blood would need kibus, meaning that it would be kosher enough that the blood would need kibus. Karikana shayazami dama v'lo shekvar huza. But wait a second. The pasuk teaches us shayazami dama v'darshin v'lo shekvar huza, that it's something that you, the blood that you plan on using for sprinkling, not blood that has already been sprinkled. So it can't be something that's already past the stage of sprinkling to require kibbutz. How can you say that if Sherim did either the kabbalah or the zrika, that it's going to need laundering? It's not going to need kibbutz. gibus in that case, because it's kevaruza. So says Gemara, elalav dafka. So what you have to say is, when you read that Mishnah, kiblu psulim vizarku, is that the word zrika is lav dafka. That it means kiblu psulim. That as long as psulim were makabalit, then that's it. So hachanami, lav dafka. So over here also, it's lav dafka. Meaning over here also, by mi'ila, when we say zarku, it's lav dafka. That the whole the whole issue is that if psulim were mekabelit, the dam, then it's considered something that never had eshas heter lekohanim. So why? Because apparently, again, this seems to fit with zrika, that heter means heter zrika, that as long as psulim or makabalit doesn't have a heter, what does it mean doesn't have a heter? Doesn't have a heter for the next stage. The next stage is zrika. Rashi writes in Maseches Zvachim on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph in Zvachim that a chatas psula, the blood doesn't require a kibbutz, right? This Mishnah that we're talking about, that a chatas psula, that the blood splatters on a beggar, it's not going to require a kibbutz. Rashi writes that it's based on the pasuk asher yazeh, that it has to be something that's ra'ui lahaza'a. But a chatas psula is not ra'ui lahaza'a, so blood that's not ra'ui lahaza'a doesn't require a kibbutz, and that's exactly what Tosfos says over here as well. The difficulty is that the Gemara over there, Darshan, that the dam that's pasul doesn't require kibbutz from a totally different pasul. It says mi dama means it's blood, it's kosher blood, not it's pasul blood. So it has an entirely different pasul to darshan the same halacha that pasul blood is not going to require kibbutz. The pasul kasher yazeh, the Gemara darshans over there in Daf Tzadi Gimel, to be memayit a different situation where the dam was nitaz from the tzavar right onto the beged, where it's not going to require kibbutz, meaning where the blood was never caught, it just splattered straight from the neck of the animal directly onto the beged. That's what it says asher yazeh to be memayit. So the achronim are all bothered, the Rashash and the Tzpeisan, they're all bothered. Why is it that both Rashi and Zvachim and Tosos here in Mi'ila both assume their own pasuk? They make up a pasuk that the Gemara doesn't have. The Gemara in Zvachim Daf Tzadi Gimel clearly has a different pasuk that teaches me that pasul adam does not require kibbutz. So the Rashash suggests that you need both of the pasukim to teach us that whether the psul had a shasa kosher or whether it's a psul that never had a shasa kosher, either way the blood does not require kibbutz. Because remember, the Mishnah had highlighted, unlike by Mi'ila, where it's only subject to Mi'ila if it has not yet had a shasa kosher, over there when it comes to the mitzvah of kibbutz, the Mishnah highlighted bein shayisa la shasa kosher, bein shalayisa la shasa kosher. So we need two psukim, one for dam of a pasul that had a shasa kosher, one for dam of a pasul that didn't have a shasa kosher. The mitzvah eisan is mitaris a little different, that from one pasuk alone we would have said that only if the blood itself was nifsal, it doesn't require kibbutz. And that's why I need a second pasuk to tell me, even if it's not a problem in the blood, it's the korban that was nifsal, the blood of a korban that was pasul also would not require kibbutz when it goes on to a beged. Big difference between blood itself being nifsal and a korban being nifsal. What's an example of korban being nifsal? Say the korban became tameh. So the blood of such a korban, now that's very different than the blood being nifsal. Sometimes the tameh korban is fully acceptable. Tumas hutra b'tzibur. So one might have thought that maybe only when the blood has a problem, when the blood itself is nifsal, then we say it's not going to require kibbutz. But if the korban, let's say, became tameh, maybe the blood should require kibbutz, because that kind of problem is not necessarily always going to be a problem. So therefore, maybe it shouldn't affect the blood that splatters onto other begadim. That's what Ms. Mason says. That's why we need two psukim. Also, this drasha, veloshek varhuza, sher yaz veloshek varhuza. So Briska Rav and Zvachim points out, why do I need a pasuk to be mimait dam that was already sprinkled? Once it's already huza, once it's already sprinkled, that's what we call nasas mitzvaso. Nasas mitzvaso, the rule is, whenever something is nasas mitzvaso, it's chulin. It becomes regular chulin. So why would I ever have a havamina that that you would need to be mechabes blood that was already huza, blood that's already nasas mitzvaso? So Briskov says, yeah, you have to say mikal makom, it's still called dam, and there's makom to say that the din of kibbutz is chal on any dam, even while it's still kasher for zrika, and that din of kibbutz, even though the din of zrika, obviously is gone because it's Kfar Huza, and the din of Kachim is already gone, but maybe the din of Kibbutz is Chal separately, and that din of Kibbutz, you know, what the Brisk Rav is saying is we're viewing the din of Kibbutz as a function of the fact that it's Kadosh, that since it's Kadosh, it can't be brought outside of the Mikdash while it's inside this Beged. You need to wash it out of the Beged. But maybe it's a separate din. Maybe there's a din of Kedusha, and Eina Chinami, this dam doesn't have Kedusha. There's a separate din of Halacha called Kibbutz that it can only start when it's Kadosh, but there's a din called Kibbutz that once something has a shame dam, that dam that's on a Beged is going to require Kibbutz, and it's not going to go away just because the Kedusha went away. Okay, that's a little bit about this concept of Kibbutz. Says Gemara Vayter, Ravasi, Imkein, Lamalim, Misnitarti. Well, wait a second, Ravasi says, what did we just say? We just said when both Mishnais say that that Kibel Vizara, Kibel Pasel Vizarek is Damo, that a Pasel is Mekabel and Zarek the Dam, that both Mishnais didn't really mean to say Zarek. They both meant, no, a Pasel is Mekabel the Dam, and who is Zarek the Dam? A Kasher, both Mishnais. Come on. Imkein, Lamalim, Misnitarti. Why would both Mishnais say both words, that Kibel and Zarek? If you look at Tosus on the second line of the page, Tosus spells it out. To lo nichole, with the gears to change, lo nichole lomar, de in la hakpid, kisheshnei mekomos, yeshona kfulos. Both places, two Mishnayis, happen to mention extra words for absolutely no reason. Bishlami, you want to say there's one Mishnah that says an extra word that just says it. So a lot of times we'll do that because the other Mishnah had to say it, and we just keep the Lashonos consistent. Or, you know, it's just, Shigur Delishna. But Shigur Delishna in two different places, that seems highly unlikely. It's hard enough to accept it in one place. To accept it in two different places, highly unlikely. So Ravasi strongly questions this idea. Eliolam Dimi'ila Dafka. So what you have to say is, Enochinami, that discussion of Kibel Vizarak by Kibbutz, that's lav dafka. It really meant only Kibel Pasul. The Zarak was done by a kasher by the case of Kibbutz. But by our Mishnah, by Mi'ila, when it says Kibel Vizarak, they're both dafka. It's not that Zarak is completely extra. We're talking about they're both dafka. If they're both dafka, then what's going on? What's the chiddush of our Mishnah? When once it's mekabel by once a pasul has been mekabelit, so what do I need that the pasul has also been zarak? So hakamashmalan, what's the girsa? Hakamashmalan, the pasul also shirayim. No, but the chiddush it's teaching me is that a pasul can make shirayim. What does it mean make shirayim? Afagav the kibel pasul v'zarak the kibel kasher v'zarak lav klumhi. Because what happens if you have a pasul who's mekabel and zorek the dam, and then someone kasher is mekabel some more dam and zorek that. Would you say, okay, a kasher person did it? So I don't. The pasul person's not going to ruin it forever. Pasul person, it wasn't a valid avoda when the pasul person did it, but then a kasher person came and did it. He was mekabel and zorek. Now osa shirayim means he makes the rest of the blood insignificant. The rest of the blood is called leftovers. It's no longer called blood of a korban, which is viable for use in the avoda. So that's what it's telling me, that if the pasul was not only mekabel but also zorek, well then the rest of the blood becomes shirayim. If the pasul did both, that's why dafka says kibel vizarak. My time is shirayim ninu. So what's the reason that the kasher who does it afterwards is not going to be able to? It's not going to be viable because it's shirayim. Once a pasul did the kabbalah and the zrika, then everything else becomes shirayim. So frankly, Gemara of Baimine Reish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan. Pasul ma she yasi shirayim. Reish Lakish already asked the shayla from Rabbi Yochanan. Can a pasul make shirayim? When a pasul does the kabbalah and the zrika, can the rest of the blood become shirayim where it's completely useless? Va'amar le, and he responded to him. Ein lecha davar she yas ha shirayim el chutzus mano v'chutzum komo holum ratze lepigulan. So my love barmi pasul, and his response to him was, no, the only thing that ever makes shirayim is when you do a kabbalah with a machshava, a kasher person does a zrika, a kabbalah or something with a machshava of chutzus mano, machshava is pigul, machshava of chutzum komo, machshava is pasul. Why do those things make shirayim? Because they're merats in the pigulan. Remember, the in order for something to be able to be pigul, it needs to be karav hamatir kimitzvaso. Everything, there needs to be only one problem. And that is that at one point there was a machshava of chutzlas manu, but everything else has to be done kimitzvaso. So on a certain level, pigel is, it's not kosher, but pigel is roi. It needs to be on the up and up. It needs to be roi for something. So the other avodas are still critical when it comes to pigel. So what's going to make shirayim? Only an avoda that really means something. So an avoda that's done with a machshavas pigel really means something, because you still need all the avodas to be done properly in order to give it the shame pigel. So that's when the rest of the blood is going to become shirayim, because you did a real something with this. You did a real avoda with it. Granted, it was a pasla avoda, it was a pigel avoda, but it was real. It was consequential. That's the best word. Consequential avoda you've done with it. But stam a pasul did something with it. That's an inconsequential avoda. That doesn't do anything. So that shouldn't make shirayim. That seems to be Rish Lakish's response, or Rabbi Yochanan's response to Rish Lakish when he said that it's only when it's machshava chutzlas manu or chutzlas makomo that it's going to make shirayim. So my love bar mi pasul, doesn't he? Dafka come to exclude that if a puzzle does these avodas adam, that it's not going to make shirayim. So how can you say that the whole reason our Mishnah by Mi'ila says that kibel and zarak by a puzzle, the reason it talks about both being done by a puzzle is because it's trying to highlight that it makes shirayim. Puzzle doesn't make shirayim. So he says, lo, afilu pasul. Now Rabbi Yochanan didn't mean to exclude pasul. He meant to say that when there's a machshavas pigel, when there's a machshavas pasul, or when the guy is pasul, that too, that it's all enough to make shirayim. Frakta Gemara, v'ha ein lecha katani. But come on, Rabbi Yochanan said, ein lecha, the only cases you ever have where there's going to be shirayim is machshavas pigel, machshavas psul. He did not say when the guy is puzzle. So how can you say, yeah, he means when the guy is puzzle also? That doesn't sound like we're being honest. So hachi kamar. Now this is what he means to say. Ein lecha davar she'eno miratze b'tzibur va'osa shirayim elechutz zman v'chutz l'mkamo. Aval tame di'ise b'tzibur mashvi shirayim and sharpsul and d'lovesun b'tzibur lo mashvi shirayim. What he means to say is, there's nothing that will not even be kosher when the problem is b'tzibur that will still make shirayim. Meaning, you're right, we need a consequential avoda to make shirayim. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is telling him. What's the definition of a consequential avoda? Well, anything that's kosher, obviously, is consequential. Anything that's pigel or pasul is consequential, because you need karva matir kimitzvaso. But also, anything done bitumah is consequential. Because even though it may not be consequential for this carbon, because this carbon is going to be possible when you have a tameh person being mekabel the dam, but when, let's say the whole klal Yisrael is tameh, well then tumah sutra b'tzibur. So that's considered a consequential avoda when a tameh person is being mekabel the dam. So that also can create shirayim. What can't create shirayim? When you have other types of psulim, things that are not a psul machsheves pigel, and things that are not a psul of tumah. When you have other types of psulim, so that's not going to make shirayim. That's all Rabbi Yochanan means to say. Period. Tashma, one last raya. Hapigel li olam moalin bo. Pigel is always subject to mi'ila. Lav de lo zarak, ushvamina hetes rikashaninu. Aren't we talking about a case where you had a machsheves pigel prior to this rika, and you see that hetes rikashaninu, that it's that something is only going to go out of the world of mi'ila once you have hetes rika? So there's a lot to read into it. How do we medayik all this? So if you look at Tosfos, Tashma pigel li olam moalin bo, lav de lo zarak, says Tosfos, uli olam de katani. When it says li olam ratzolomar bein pigel b'shchita bein pigel b'kabbala, it means if you did the pigel, if you had the machshavas pigel during the first two avodos, either at the shchita or at the kabbala, va'afilu pigel b'kabbala davle heter shchita katani demoalin. So apparently, even if you had a machshavas pigel at the second stage at the kabbala, so you already had a heter shchita, the shchita was done fine, but you're doing kabbala with machshavas pigel, still it's going to be subject to meila. The time of the pigel, hello pigel, afal gavdelo zarak, ain molin. And it sounds like it's only problem, it's only subject to me'ila because you were mefagel. But had you not been mefagel during the Kabbalah, so then it wouldn't be subject to me'ila anymore. So it sounds like we're zeroing in, dafka, on that stage. That it's only because you had a machsheves pigel during the Kabbalah that it's no longer subject to me'ila. Had you not had that machsheves pigel during the Kabbalah, I'm sorry, that's still subject to me'ila. Had you not had that machsheves pigel during the Kabbalah, it would no longer be subject to me'ila. Why not? because it has heter zrika. So there's a riot that heter zrika sheninu. And maybe it means heter shchita. No, it doesn't mean heter shchita because it says li'olam. Li'olam means that the pickle could have happened either at the shchita or at the Kabbalah, and it would still be subject to Mi'ilah. If it was heter shchita, then a pickle at the Shas Kabbalah would no longer be subject to Mi'ilah. So says Gemara, no, hakamashmulan, kidrav gidal. I'm sorry, lo, zarka. No, really, we're talking about a case where it was nizrak. So my li'olam, so what's the case of, what does li'olam then mean? So hakamashmulan, kidrav gidal is coming to teach me, like Rav Gidal said, damar Rav Gidal amrav, zrikas pigal, enu maltimi de Mi'ilah, venu maybe de Mi'ilah. That's the point, that when you do Zrikas Pigel, it doesn't create that turning point in Mi'ila that we're used to, meaning both on the Kachik Kachim side and the Kachik Kalim side. Zrikas Mevili De Mi'ila by Kachim Kalim, Motimi De Mi'ila by Kachik Kachim, and like that our old friend of Gidol Amarav, that doesn't happen when it's a Zrikas Pigel. Okay, but Shem will pick up with Tashma tomorrow.